Isaiah 53, we've been looking at Jesus Christ here in this wonderful prophetic chapter about his substitutionary sacrifice. We dealt with that last Sunday morning. The Bible word is propitiation, and the Lord took on him the sins of the whole world when he was crucified on Calvary. He did no sin. The Bible says he was a sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. But as he hung on the cross, the God the Father placed on him the sin of the whole world. And when he died for the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because Jesus paid the price. And we appreciate him doing that. You and I have, as we've already said, we have hope today because of what he's done for us. Now I got to turn my notes around or I'm going to preach the wrong message this morning. All right, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. The Bible says this, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And here's what I was saying, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Those first two phrases in that verse, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, underscores the truth, the simple truth this morning, that sheep need a shepherd. And Jesus Christ is the greatest shepherd that there ever was. And so let's pray this morning, ask the Lord to help us, and we'll dive right in. Father, thank you for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for these folks who have made the effort to come and be in your house today. Lord, I pray that you'll reward them for that. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts through your word today. Lord, that you'll use me as a vessel sanctified and meet for your use. And I pray that you'll speak through me to the heart of your people, and that the word of God would have free course today, and it would be glorified in this sanctuary just like it is in heaven. I pray that the folks would have their hearts prepared to receive the word and would mix the preaching with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we'll submit to you, Lord. You are the good shepherd. Lord, you're the great shepherd, and you're the chief shepherd. And there's no other shepherd that's as good as you. Lord, you're the only one that we ought to follow. And I pray you'll help us to submit to your leadership today, Lord, that we'd submit to following you as we've sung all these songs this morning. Lord, I pray that we'll not lie, but that we'll mean the words that we say. And Lord, if you have to take us down through the valley, Lord, that we'd go with you. And if you take us across the mountaintop, Lord, that we'd go with you. And Lord, in trials and tribulations and happy times and sad times, Lord, we'd just wrap up close in your arms, and you'd guide us and direct us in all that we do. Lord, help us to listen to your voice and not the voice of this world and not the voice of carnal people. But Lord Jesus, we'd listen to your voice and we'd know your voice. And we'd follow it whithersoever you'd ask us to go. Thank you again for being such a great God today. I pray you help our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in our study, the Lord is likening the nation of Israel to sheep that have gone astray. And of course, you know Isaiah's ministry. You know the time period that this is. The nation of Israel is turned away from God. They're an idolatrous nation. They're just like all the other Gentile nations around them. And this is just a little nuance in the Bible, but anytime you know you see that word sheep, it's talking about one of two groups of people. It's either Israel or it's those who've been born again. And it's never lost people are never called God's sheep. When Jesus sent out the 70, he told them, he said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, do not go to the Gentiles, because Gentiles were not called sheep. They were a worse animal. They're called dogs. And that's why if you've been born again this morning, you're no longer a dog, now you're a sheep. You've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And so we praise the Lord for that. But nonetheless, the reference here, the doctrinal reference here is to the nation of Israel having gone astray. But the reality is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Why? Because everyone's turned to their own way. at some point in their life. Every person that commits sin, those children as they're born and they begin to mature and grow into their toddler years, and they're told by mom and dad, don't go into that room. And they obey that for a while, and then at some point they turn and go their own way and disobey mom and dad and go in that room. And at that point they become a sinner in the eyes of God, and they're condemned already because they knew the command, but they disobeyed the command. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, there's a great book on Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. I think we have a copy of it back here in the library. And if you want to get that and read it, it'll be a blessing to you. Just make sure it gets back here, okay? Or you can buy it on Amazon, have it shipped to your house for $4.27. However you want to do that. But I would recommend reading that book. And the reason is because Mr. Keller was a shepherd. And he knew sheep. And you find out a lot of details in that book about sheep. So this is not going to be an exhaustive study this morning about sheep, but I am going to tell you this. Sheep are not very intelligent. They tend to be quite dumb, quite thick. They are very helpless. Sheep don't have canine teeth to bite something. Right? They got flat teeth to chew the cud and the grass. And sheep are not very fast when they run, especially if they're weighed down with wet wool. And so they're an easy target. They're easy prey. Sheep sometimes just totally helpless. They'll get down and they'll lay down, go to sleep, and then they can't get back up. And they got some livestock quality to them, right? You can shear them for the wool. They taste pretty good, amen? Especially the young ones. Boy, they just lost everybody on that one. But nonetheless, it's interesting that God likens the nation of Israel and then those of us who are born again to sheep. And the reality is, sheep need a shepherd. If sheep do not have a shepherd, now listen, they're not going to last very long. Sheep that don't have a shepherd are going to get themselves in a lot of trouble. Sheep that don't have a shepherd are going to end up dead before natural causes takes them. And so as we understand about sheep, they're not very intelligent, they're quite helpless, they're not predatory, they're not able to defend themselves. And so in that sense, as I said, sheep need a shepherd, but sheep also tend to stray. And they do it one of two ways. Either they'll do it just simply out of ignorance. And so this would maybe be more like, you know, if sheep are pasturing in an open range and there's no fields or paddocks or anything like that from the beginning. They're just sort of out wandering around like they would over in Ireland and England, you know, Scotland back in the days, and even in Israel perhaps for that matter. And it's sort of open range feeding. If they would just be having their head down going along, if they're not paying attention, they end up drifting from the herd, from the flock. And in that sense, it's just simple ignorance. They're just ignoring the fact that they're not with the group. They're more concerned about eating and doing what they want to do rather than being with the herd. And so that's one way that sheep can stray. The other way that they can stray is through willful ignorance. Now, you know, the root word of ignorance is what? To ignore. All right, and a shepherd that's not maybe on the open range, but a shepherd or a farmer maybe I could say, that has a certain plot of land and he wants the sheep to feed this pasture this year and move them around or whatever that rotational grazing thing might be, he's got fences or he's got walls. You'll see that over in England. A lot of places will have the stone walls up to be the boundary of the paddocks. And that sheep, though, he can get over there on the edge and he can decide, I don't want to be in here anymore. And he tries to jump that wall or go through that fence, and boy, the Lord said, whoso breaketh through a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And you start breaking through the boundaries as a sheep does. It starts breaking through those boundaries. They get out in the road and they get out in places, in wild places where the wild animals can get to them and their predators can get to them. And so a sheep can stray one of two ways, either by ignorance or just by willful ignorance. And either way, it doesn't turn out well. Either way, it can end in death, and it's very dangerous. So that word astray, when the Lord says that word astray means to go out of the right way or to go out of the proper place. That would be willful ignorance. That would be a conscious decision to leave the proper paths of life. It also means, the word astray also means to wander from one's company or proper limits. And when the Lord talks about all we like sheep have gone astray, He says we have turned everyone to his own way. I think you get a little bit of both. You get a little bit of just sort of wandering. And listen, the Lord doesn't want us as his people just to be wandering about on this earth. He's got a very particular plan. He's got a very particular purpose for all of his people that are saved and born again this morning. We're talking to the boys downstairs about the doctrine of the will of God and the seven particulars of God's will that I've taught to this church a couple of times at least since I've been here as a pastor. And the Lord doesn't want us just floating through life. He wants us to have a purpose. Every morning you get up, you've got a purpose. Every morning you get up, there ought to be some drive in you and I to do something for the glory of Jesus Christ that day. We're not just living this life for ourselves. We're not just living this life for what we can get. We're not, you know, going to this city and we're going to stay here a while and buy and sell and get gain and, you know, we'll go somewhere else. The Lord said we ought to ask, what's God's will for my life today? What, in other words, what does a shepherd want me to do? As a sheep of Jesus' flock, where does the shepherd want me to feed today? What field do I need to be in? Do I stay in the barn? You get it? You get the applications? And so to be out of the right way or the proper place when the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, that is a very dangerous, maybe I could say it this way, condemning statement. The Bible warns us in the book of Proverbs, it says, in verse 6, or chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 16, verse 25, God put it twice in the Bible. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Everybody in this room, I don't care how old you are today, you're making decisions on your way in life, and I hope you're making decisions according to what Jesus wants you to make decisions about. I hope you're making decisions according to how the shepherd has given us direction in his Bible today and not just making decisions based on feelings and making decisions based on your own intellect and making decisions based on your own reasonings and those types of things. All that, listen, you ought to make decisions. You ought to think about your decisions. You ought to decide on things based on some input from people, maybe perhaps for some counsel from people. But in the end of the story, the direction that comes in our lives ought to be coming from the pages of Scripture. Amen, preacher. But we make decisions based on feelings. Well, I feel, or I just think, or I want. And I'm afraid many times, even as saved, born-again believers, all we like sheep would go astray. We turn everyone to his own way because we know that maybe God's way is not the easiest way. Sometimes God's way is definitely not the most pleasant way. Sometimes what God asks his sheep to do is not to stay down in that lush pasture, but to go over the mountain to the next pasture. And so there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now I told you that sheep goes astray one of two ways, either by ignorance or by willful ignorance. And what we might call ignorance this morning is just simplicity. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. The book of Proverbs. Actually, come with me to verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Proverbs, I hope you view it as a treasure of God's wisdom. I hope you view it as something that a book in the world that can really give your life direction and give your life purpose and give your life some security and safety. And God gave us this book through many of the writings of Solomon. We praise the Lord for that. And it says here in chapter 1, verse 1 of Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And here it is, verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. And discretion, the Bible says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So the Lord does not want His people being simple concerning the direction they need to go in their life. He doesn't want us being simple concerning following Him and obeying Him and His wisdom and understanding. God wants us to know all these things. It's why He gave us the book. And if you turn over to chapter 7, the Lord gives a very, very vivid picture of a simple young man. And He says here, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man." And the Bible says he's void of understanding. What's this young man doing? He's just out wandering around. Now this is obviously in a city, and thank God we live in Russell County. We don't have much of a city here, amen. You get up to a place like Winchester, Virginia. Well, even here in Russell County, it wouldn't be advisable just to be wandering around downtown Lebanon at night. There's all kinds of wicked in this little town. You get a place like Winchester where we just were, or Charlottesville, or Richmond, Virginia. It'd be foolish to be out at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning just wandering around the streets. You're going to find some stuff you don't want to find what it is. You wish you'd never bumped into it. And the same's true in life, guys. The Lord doesn't want to just wandering around in life. He wants us to have a purpose. He wants to have His wisdom and understanding. And so here's this young man. He's just out wandering around. He's void of understanding, the Bible says. And he passes through the street near her corner. That's the harlot's corner, the strange woman's corner. And any man that had any sense knew, don't go over there. But this young man, he's just wandering. He's just out, just going around. And the Bible says in verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Just go home when it gets dark, amen? Just go home. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart, and she's going to deceive him. And you know the whole story there in Proverbs chapter 7. So the Lord does not want His people like that young man. He does not want His people just wandering around. He doesn't want us going astray. He does not want us just bumping into evil sort of ignorantly and simply and without understanding. God's given us this book to make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the only way that you and I, as the sheep of God, are going to stay out of trouble is if we follow the shepherd. Proverbs 29, you still over there in Proverbs? Some of you are. Proverbs 29. Now, some of you got kids in the house still, and it's a blessing. Some of you now have transitioned to grandkids in the house. It's also a blessing, mainly because you get to send them home when you're tired of them. But this is just good advice. God knows what He's talking about. Proverbs 29, we're talking about this simplicity, this ignorance. Proverbs 29:15, the Bible says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." And by the way, that still works in 2026. And it needs to be administered probably a whole lot more than it is. Nonetheless, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What's the old saying? Idle hands are devil's workshop. Our girls, we let them go in their room and have some quiet time, because praise God, everybody needs some quiet time. But our girls, we don't just let them float through life. We give them things to do. We got purpose. They got chores at the house. Amen. It's a good thing. We make them work hard in their schoolwork. Amen. We challenge them. We encourage them. We try to shape them and fashion them into something that God can use in their life. It'd be foolish just to put a child in its room by itself and say, "Here's the iPad, just be quiet." It'd be foolish to put a child on the on the couch in the living room, just turn the TV on for hours at a time and say, just be quiet, leave me alone, I got stuff to do. I'm going to tell you, it won't take very long. The devil's going to get a hook in that child's mind, in that child's heart, and the hope of them ever doing anything for Jesus is going to be gone. The Lord doesn't want us just wandering. He doesn't want us going astray. He wants us with purpose and following the shepherd every step of the way. And so we see that ignorance just can lead a sheep astray and lead a child astray and lead a young man, a young woman astray. And so children and sheep both need oversight. They both need direction to stay safe and not to bring shame and ruin into their lives. And then we look at the willful ignorance, right? This is beyond just sort of wandering about in life and bumping into evil along the way. Willful ignorance is knowing what's right to do and yet saying, I'm not going to do that. Willful ignorance is God saying, walk this way, and a sheep being rebellious in heart saying, I'm not going that way. If you come with me to Jeremiah chapter 10, this is how the nation of Israel had become with God, and this is why God's wrath was poured out upon them as they were carried into captivity. This, I would say, is indicative of the nation of Israel's attitude toward God today in 2026, those who are not saved and born again. And it will be why His wrath is poured out upon them in the tribulation time. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah 10:23. Look what the Bible says here. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, the Lord, when He created you and I, He created us with a measure of intelligence, and I appreciate Him doing that. I think man's smarter than anything else God made. And in doing so, He also gave man the ability to choose. We're not robots, right? We don't hold to any Calvinistic or fatalistic philosophies that everything about our lives is just pre-programmed and we're just all playing it out, you know, as God developed all this before the foundation of the world. We don't hold to that because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach that man has a choice. And every choice that you and I make has consequences. And the wise man, the wise woman, the wise young man, the wise young woman says, Lord, if I just pick my own way in life, Lord, I'm going to really mess it up. Lord, but if you'll direct my paths, Lord, and I'll submit myself to your direction, to your leading as my shepherd, Lord, I know I'll be a whole lot better off. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What a great promise. And here in Jeremiah 10, the Bible says that it's not in man to choose. He'll make a mistake. He'll make some willfully wrong decisions if it's left up to men and women to direct their own lives. And so the sheep that are God's sheep need to follow the shepherd because the shepherd knows best. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Sheep need a shepherd this morning. Jeremiah chapter 50. This is why we sang that song, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Now we're not talking about, I think everybody here probably understands, but maybe for the radio audience and for the recording's sake, we're not talking about trying to hear a voice that tells you to do something contrary to Scripture. You've got the King James Bible in your lap this morning. You've got God's words. And that Bible can speak to you. That Bible can guide you. That Bible can direct your life. It is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. All we've got to do is follow it. Obey it. Do what it says. Be a whole lot better off. And so the Lord has established the church, right? The body of Christ. Praise the Lord for it. And the Lord has ordained that every New Testament church has two offices in it. It has a bishop, which we call a pastor, and it has deacons. And both of those are called elders. Okay? And those two offices are offices of ministry in the church. They're offices of service in the church. And the church is the body of Christ, is to have that organization in it. And all that's God ordained. And every church that has a pastor that God put there, that pastor's a gift from God. And every church like this that has capable men in that church that can teach the Bible, that's a gift from God. And every church that has aged women that are godly and virtuous that can teach the young women in that church has a gift from God. But not every man that stands up and says, I'm a pastor, has the desire to lead God's people in the right way. And not every man that stands up in an organizational church and says, I'm a teacher from God, has the best interest in the people that he's talking to lead them in the right way. The Bible says in these last days of the church that men shall heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. And that they'll go after those people that are lying to them and that they're telling them the wrong thing. And that was happening in Israel's day because they had turned away from God's true spokespeople, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all those prophets. They turned away and they said, you guys are lying to us. God's not mad at our sin. God's not upset with our sin. And those false prophets would go around. They would preach peace, peace, when there was no peace. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, we see the outworking of that. In verse 6, it says, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. In other places, God rebukes the leaders of the nation of Israel, the religious leaders for scattering the sheep and not going after them and not caring about them. And that's a whole nother study about pastoral responsibilities we won't get into this morning. But the reality is you and I have got to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ through the words of the Bible, the King James Bible, to lead our lives, because there are other voices out there that'll lead you astray. And sometimes we get rebellion in our heart, and sometimes we get sideways with God, and sometimes we get upset about different things, and we don't like the way things are going in our life, and all of a sudden we hear a voice over here off of YouTube or Facebook or somewhere else, a friend that you meet somewhere or whatever it is, co-worker, whatever, family member, whatever it might be, and you get another voice that says, well, you know, you could just do it this way, and boy, that resonates with the rebellion in our heart, and that resonates with the foolishness in our heart, and we say, you know what, I'm not going to go do it God's way anymore. I've got this justification. I'm going to follow that voice. And you'll end up dead. There's a young man we taught in CUC. I taught him, I guess it's 3, maybe 4 years ago. And it was in a very, very disruptive class, very unruly class. And you try not to get mad, but it happens. And that young man, he smarted off to me. And I just stopped and I said, listen, pal. I said, I'm not here to get a paycheck. I said, we do this volunteer, on a volunteer basis. I said, I'm actually taking time off of my paying job to be here to teach you. And I said, furthermore, I said, I'm trying to warn you about some things in your life. He said, I don't need no warnings. I said, well, that'll be your choice. I said, but I love you enough to come and tell you the truth and to try to warn you about some things in your life. He said, why do I need to be warned? I said, because if you don't listen to the warnings in your life, you're going to end up dead. And that shocked him. And about 3 months later, we were finishing the classes, still had the same poor attitude. And he turned in his evaluation. He said, I'm not dead yet. And I put my arm around him. I said, young man, I said, you're walking a very dangerous path. And I said, I hope it doesn't catch up with you. Now, you're probably expecting me to tell you the story that he died. He didn't die, thankfully, because he needs to be saved. I was walking into Lebanon High School, the last class, 2 weeks ago, walking in for first period, and if you've been out there at the high school, you know they got that big covered walkway, it goes in, and all the kids were coming out. I think it's to go to VOTEC, first, none of them are in here. First part of the day, they go to Votek, and I didn't recognize him. I just sort of had my head down walking, and I heard this voice say, "I'm not dead yet." And I turned and looked at him, and he said, "Hey, Tater man, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm praying for you." But isn't that a picture of the world? Isn't that a picture of how we get sometimes with God? I'm not interested in what you say, Lord. And the Lord says, well, you may end up dead. And then in our haughty and proudful attitude, we look at God and say, "I'm not dead yet." That's about foolishness. Sheep need a shepherd. And you're a whole lot better off when you're just following Jesus and doing what he says to do. Well, let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You can listen to a lot of influences in your life. You can listen to a lot of voices in your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is the best one. He's the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. But I can tell you, after being saved at 9 years old and knocking on the door of 44 now, Jesus is the best leader I've ever known. Amen. He's the best one you can follow. He's right. He knows what he's talking about. He's got your best interest in mind. Most folks in the world don't have your best interest in mind, but Jesus does. He's a shepherd you can trust. He's a shepherd who's going to look out for you. He's a shepherd who's going to protect you. And you'd just be better off, if you're saved this morning, you'd be better off just to follow the shepherd. Now, if you're not saved this morning, you need to get in the flock. Amen. It's a good place to be. Amen. Amen. John 10, verse 1. Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And that's why we say today, Jesus is the only way. He is the truth and he is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Bible says in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth." Now look, verse 3. "And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name." So if you're saved this morning, Jesus knows your name. That's a real comfort. "And he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Johnny's here this morning. It's good to see you, brother. We're glad you're here. And Johnny's farmed for a long time. Many of you farmed for a long time. I know Brother Mark and Phillips family, and Brother Greg run cattle. Dad used to run cattle. And I can remember growing up there on the farm. And Dad used to buy yearling steers every spring and put them in, let them fatten up, and then go kill them and eat them. Amen. And but I remember he'd take some sweet corn down, some sweet feed down. And those cows would be on the bottom end of his property. You've been up there fishing, you know it's a long way down there to the bottom end, or they'd be up in the woods somewhere and didn't know where they were. And Dad'd get that four-wheeler. Now, usually, by the end of the summer, when they heard the four-wheeler, the cattle came running. You didn't have to do a whole lot of this. But when they first got there, he'd take that four-wheeler down. We had some big old rocks down there in the pasture. And he'd put that corn out. And he'd step back and he'd cup his hand and he'd go, "Sukaha!" And it just echoed down that valley. And he'd wait a minute, he'd do it again. He'd wait a minute, he'd do it again. All of a sudden, he'd see him little head start bobbing up over the dam of the pond. Here they come. You know why? They knew the voice. They knew the voice. And Jesus said, if he's your shepherd, you know his voice. Did I say that right? If he is your shepherd, you know his voice. Did I say that right? Anyway, Miss Kathy, in the recording, Brother Richard, anyway. If Jesus is your shepherd, you know his voice. Verse 5, "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him." That's really good advice, by the way. There's a voice in your life trying to get you away from Jesus Christ. You ought to just run away from as fast as you can. Get back to Jesus. Somebody's trying to pull you away from the Bible and from the old paths of Christianity and the straight and narrow way. If they're trying to pull you away from that, you ought to just run from them as hard as you can. Get back to Jesus. Just tune them out. Turn them off. Get away from them. They're not going to help you. They're going to kill you. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, I told you, those voices trying to pull the sheep away, they don't have the sheep's best interest in mind. I am come that they might have life, verse 10, they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Amen. And he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I'd say that describes Jesus Christ. That's Isaiah 53's picture of the shepherd, is it not? He laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. He took our punishment, he took our beatings, he took our iniquity. You understand that? He's the good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep. And he goes on down through there and talks about a hireling. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all that this morning. But I want you to know this, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In other words, he redeems and rescues the sheep. Now, come with me to Hebrews 13. Just give you a little picture of the best shepherd in the world. Hebrews chapter 13. We see in John 10, he's the good shepherd. Hebrews 13, he's got another title. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, the Bible says this, Hebrews 13, 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd. He's not just the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What's the great shepherd do? Oh, he gets up from the dead. The great shepherd, the Bible says, of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the condition or the characteristic of the great shepherd is he rose again. He didn't just redeem and rescue the sheep. He rose again. And Jesus Christ this morning is victorious over death, hell, the grave, and Satan himself. And I'm telling you, he's not just the good shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. He's not just the good shepherd. And he's not just the great shepherd. First Peter chapter 5. Lord here is speaking to the elders in the church. And he says, I exhort you, verse 1, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. Amen. That's my job as a pastor at Spring City Baptist Church, is to feed the flock of God. I'm not to feed the goats, I'm to feed the sheep. You know, Spurgeon said something years ago. I think that man, he probably just burned most of the churches down the day that he went into. He said this, he said, the day will come when instead of pastors feeding the sheep, we will have clowns entertaining the goats. Not interested in entertaining goats. I'm interested in feeding the sheep. That's the job of a pastor. And he goes on to say, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. All right, so the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus redeemed us with his own blood and rescued us from our sins. Praise the Lord for that. But he's also the great shepherd, and the great shepherd rose again, and the chief shepherd is going to return. Amen. And he's the chief shepherd. Look what it says, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now that's the rapture, amen. We know that that's the rapture. That's the time that the church gets caught away to meet Jesus in the air. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, because the judgment seat of Christ follows the rapture of the church. And so Jesus, not just the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. And could I say it this way? He's not just the great shepherd, he's the chief shepherd. Now Psalm 23. The question is he your shepherd? Sheep need a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd is going to make a big mistake. You remember as Jesus went about teaching in all of Israel, all of Judea, and went around those places, and he'd come to a certain place, there'd be a whole multitude of people there. And the Bible says that he had compassion on them. Do you remember why? Because they were sheep, as sheep without a shepherd. Man, I'm glad my Savior's compassionate. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And it's interesting when we think about that chief shepherd, the Bible says that when Jesus shall appear, that there's going to be a trumpet sound. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about different trumpet sounds. I'm just telling you, if you're saved this morning, you'll hear that trumpet sound. But the lost won't hear that trumpet. They're not going to hear the voice that says, come up hither. I can't wait to hear it. If you're saved, I can't wait for you to hear it either. Psalm 23. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Look what a benefit it is to be a part of the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That sounds pretty good to me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Now listen, that right there, if you didn't have anything else, that'd be a win. Just to have Jesus with you as your shepherd. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm telling you, that's the kind of shepherd you want. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope the Lord's your shepherd this morning. If not, through repentance and faith, you can become a part of that flock. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me in verse 21. The Bible says this, for even hereunto were ye called, talking about suffering wrongfully. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. What a great Savior we have, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now look at verse 25. For ye, that's talking about the church before they got saved. For ye were as sheep, doing what? Going astray, turning everyone to their own way. But now that they're saved, now that they're born again, but now are returned unto the capital S shepherd and capital B bishop of your souls. And I'm just telling you this morning, sheep need a shepherd. And I hope Jesus is your shepherd today. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But he's my shepherd. And I hope he's yours. Let's pray. Father, we